Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, happy to bring you another topic of concern in this program. Well, this important topic that needs discussion, understanding, and consideration is affecting many women and their families. Yet, we find out that it's still not often enough talked about. This subject is childless women. The Office of National Statistics shows that one in five women who are nowadays reaching the age of 40 will have no children. You know what this means? It means that the number of women who are not likely to ever have a child is running more than twice the level that was 20 years ago. As a matter of fact, two-thirds of the women who were born in the mid-70s are still without children, while nearly half of the women who were born in the 60s had families by the time that they reached 25. Well, although we do not exactly know what percentage of these women do not have children by their own choice, there is still a very huge difference between choosing to be childless and just realizing one day that you will not have the possibility of bearing a child. Some women know for sure that they do not want children. And other women go through life just to discover that they've crossed an unmarked border into a new territory where they had never imagined the borderline of not having a child. Society, its pressures, and the conceptions that we have about womanhood also impact the individual lives of every woman. Despite the influence from media, religion, family, friends, women feel uncomfortable with not having a child, whether it's by choice or by natural force. You know, I find it really inspiring when I find people who care about the feelings of these women and do something about it. And that's why I have one of my best friends, Dr. Marcy Cole, online with us tonight to talk about this topic. Dr. Cole is a PhD, and he is a holistic psychotherapist, author, speaker, community mobilizer, and a humanitarian visionary. She practices at the Wheel of Well-Being in Los Angeles, California, where I have the pleasure of working with her as well. Dr. Cole's doctoral dissertation was on the experiences of never married women between ages of 29 to 39 who desire marriage and children. She is a blog author for the Huffington Post, the best-selling co-author of A Living Proof Celebrating the Gifts That Came Wrapped in Sandpaper, and Get Your Women On, Embracing Beauty, Grace, and the Power of Women. Dr. Cole has been featured on TV shows, including Dr. Drew's Life Changers, Millionaire Matchmaker, Braxton Family Values, and Issues with Jane Wells Michelle. Marcy founded a women's group called First Tuesday, offering an offline programming to promote social connectivity, professional networking, and also social services. She also connected with an online network in Chicago on the same subject. Well, in the fall of 2011, she launched a viral platform for women without children called Childless Mothers Connect. The purpose was to provide an online heaven for women to connect and to share the stories, their resources, their struggles, and their triumphs with one another. Marcy is the founder and executive director for the nonprofit See Mama, Childless Mothers Adopt, offering support to childless single women, couples, and partners who seek to adopt or help children in need. I've invited her to talk about this great undertaking and tell us how it can help women and how we can be of support on this subject. Let's welcome together Marcy. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much for being with me this evening and inviting me on your show. It's such an honor. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, it's such a wonderful feeling to be around you because you're always busy helping someone. You know, you're continuously trying to bring more comfort and peace to other people, and I admire that, and I'm really glad to spend this time with you, especially on such an important topic that not too many people really talk about. There is a lot of, in my belief and understanding, although I'm a man, I understand that there is a lot of pain involved with not having a child, possibly not out of your choice, but if you're forced not to have a child. So I'm really looking forward to hear from you, and you know, and just maybe you can start with just telling us what got you interested in working in on this topic and with this population.
Well, Daniel, first of all, before I get to that question, I just want to thank you for being a man in the world who's so attuned to this and sensitive to it, because we're starting to crack open this topic and conversation typically with women. And so to have men involved in the discussion and in the healing and in the opportunity is a delight and very, very refreshing. So thank you. The answer to your question about how I got specifically interested in this. You know, so much of life is organic. There's that beautiful Gandhi line that says, my life is my message. And so much of what we experience, we end up hopefully doing something constructive with. And so part of what got me interested is my own personal experience. I was a very sort of typical baby of the 60s where there was a lot of emphasis on education, and as a woman, you know, getting an education and supporting myself and all of that, and yet at the same time, there was a lot of societal expectation still to get married in your 20s and have the, you know, have the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and all of that, and I was right along with that sort of level of desire and consciousness as well, but as a result, I ended up marrying kind of for the wrong reasons, for really looking at, you know, thinking about the blueprint and what, you know, it was time to get married and marrying my best friend who should have stayed my best friend. And so, you know, I was one of the 50% people in this country that marry for the first time and get divorced. And then I spent a lot of time in academics. I went back for a master's and a PhD. And, of course, that takes up a lot of your energy and time. And I was very career-focused. And we all know what that can do in terms of, you know, what you focus on expands. And so I put a lot of energy there. And the other piece is that I'm also a woman of this generation that we also want to, you know, particularly if we made the wrong choice the first time, we want to make the right choice the second time, or hopefully the first time as well. And so we spend sometimes a lot of time searching for the right one. And so by the time I found my right one, I was 40 years old. And once again, I fit, you know, I had my own personal experience with, at that point, infertility, going through the motions of fertility treatments and hoping it would happen and assuming it would happen and having faith it would happen when it didn't. And then having to walk through that experience myself and, you know, grieve that loss. And first you're sort of numb to it and you're surprised, and then you're sort of in denial, and then it's there's an overwhelming sadness that comes from that. And so I had to walk myself through it. And then, you know, comes a time where you want to make lemonade out of lemons and think about what you can do with that. But that's, I'll share that with you a bit later. So the first piece of what got me interested, obviously, was my own experience. And the second part of this
is the loss that's involved. That's what I'm hearing from you. You truly understand the loss that's involved, because not too many people really think of this as a loss, as you just mentioned it.
Yes, well, right. And, you know, it's sort of like if you've never sprained your ankle, you don't know what that feels like. So obviously our experience does make us more empathic to any, you know, situation that other people might feel. But absolutely, you know, as a woman walking through it, and that sort of, you know, the way the human mind, we want to detour from it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to think about it. And yet, there are times where it hits you like, really, I'm not going to be a mother? You know, I'm not going to have this experience as a woman to have a child growing inside of me and have someone call me mommy and you know, and have that kind of intimacy. As we all know, and good relationships, the parent-child relationship is one of the most beautiful, intimate relationships we can possibly experience in our lives. And so to wake up one day and think, wow, I'm not going to have that. It's truly in the sort of eye of the morning storm, it is heartbreaking. It truly is. And so, yes, I have walked through that phase. I'm no longer in that space, but I was there at one point, and so it's made me much more attuned to other women going through it.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Yes, it's so much of what we end up being drawn to is what we've experienced ourselves. And then what was happening, Daniel, in congruence with this, you know, what's interesting, on the heels of my divorce, which was in my early 30s, I was already in private practice, and I was having this flood of young women coming into my office with a lot of anxiety around, being single and not meeting their husbands yet and being very concerned about the biological clock. And so this is the other piece that got me very interested in it. I realized, wow, you know, I'm experiencing it to some extent, and so are half my clients. And then I realized, wow, this is truly such a prolific women's issue, social issue, clinical issue that brings a lot of women into therapy. And so that's what inspired my dissertation topic that you shared, the experience of never married women between the ages of 29 and 39 that desire marriage and kids. And again, that was the decade of the population of women that could still have kids, right? But they were dealing with where's my man and or my woman and my partner, you know, the person that's right for me, and walking through that experience. And now, of course, now that I'm older and I've tracked my own personal and professional experience, now we're also dealing with the women on the other side of the biological clock, where having children is no longer an option.
Correct. So, with both of these pieces, so then what did you do after that?
So basically, you know, that's basically the answer to your question is what informed my interest was my personal experience, and then I realized in my practice I was walking a lot of other women through that experience, and then, you know, continued along in life, and then once you reach really early 40s, you know, 42 on, the 40s become a time for a lot of women where, again, the second wake-up call of saying, wow, I am on the other side. For single women, they're really, you know, experiencing it big time because not only have they not found their partner, but now the biological window of having a child is now coming to an end. And for couples and partners, even if they have a wonderful partnership, if they wanted children and they haven't been able to have them, they're also dealing with the heartbreak. So now it's.
Yeah. Marcy, also, I'm sorry to cut you off. In my practice, I come across many couples who because the wife cannot have a child, they go through a lot of emotional heartbreaks and fightings and eventually divorce just as a result of that. So it's, you know, even if you have a partner, it doesn't mean that it's going to be supportive.
Well, right. Of course. I mean, I would like to think, as we all would, that when we choose our partners, you know, when they say for better or for worse, there's never guarantees in life, and you don't know. And you know, in a really strong relationship where there's a tremendous amount of love and commitment, and, you know, you work it through. But to your point, if it's not strong enough, yes, it can break up a marriage, of course.
I see a lot of that.
Yes, and also if it's not, you know, if it's strong enough, I really do believe that couples can walk through. There's going to be a challenging piece to this because even in a strong relationship, if you realize your partner can't have a child, you have to be able to admit that heartbreak and heal it within yourself and the relationship, and then look at each other and say, okay, now what? You know, do we really want to become parents? And if we're really committed to becoming parents, then there are other ways to become parents.
So what are the primary struggles that you hear from these women who are not able to have children? What is the major common theme that you come across with?
Well, you know, there's kind of this primal, visceral void, I would say. You know, that sense of, wow, there's something there. Even for a lot of women that have very full lives, you know, there's something missing. And for singles, you know, for single women, there can be an added sense of loneliness, of course, and isolation when they don't have a partner to spend their lives with. But in general, you know, what's happening really is that women are trying to reconcile the fact that their dream of being a mom and having children and a family isn't happening, and also trying to come to terms with the future as well, because, you know, the mind starts to fast forward and say, who's, you know, how am I going to be later on in my golden years, and, you know, who you know, I'm not going to be a grandparent. I mean, I just had on my blog, on the website, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, a woman wrote in a blog something about, not only she's 41 years old, but she's saying, I can't believe I'm not going to be a mom or a grandparent. I mean, they're already thinking ahead, right? And of course, you know, I think that the most difficult pain point in terms of the age range is that 35 years old to like 43, I think around, this is a general broad stroke here, but that's where I think a tremendous amount of anxiety, the most amount of anxiety you hear ruminating about, again, for all these women that are single. And, you know, not only, Daniel, you talked about this, the statistics that have skyrocketed of women without kids, but you also have, you know, the single population is highest than it's ever been. And so, you know, for those singles, it's not only the child, but where's my partner? And it's not only the partner, it's where's you know, how about having children? And so there's a lot of anxiety you hear about that, a lot of ruminating and obsessing and worrying, you know, downright worrying. And it can be exhausting. And of course, grief.
Sense of loss of self-esteem also. That's something that I observe also, that the self-esteem kind of diminishes just as a result of not having a child. And that takes a toll on the person to just come back to terms with it.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, again, just like we talked about a strong relationship versus a fragile one, if a person is already not feeling as grounded in who they are, and on top of that, they haven't found the partner that they desire and they long for and been able to have kids if they want, of course, you're absolutely right. I mean, the blow to oneself, because they can personalize it and feel marginalized and really isolated, and of course, that can turn into downright depression. We know that depression is, you know, when it's not just about what's not happening on the outside, it's how we feel on the inside. And so, yes, but I will say, for the women that are feeling stronger in their skin, it's not as much a blow to their self-esteem. I hear more anxiety and grief. You know, there's the grief piece, which is a palpable grief. So to your point, yes, you have people that are personalizing it, internalizing it, and starting to judge themselves and feel bad about themselves. And then you have people that actually feel great about themselves, but this piece of their life, they're really, you know, trying to come to terms with their disappointment that certain things haven't happened the way they had hoped.
So how can you help them to heal and get over this disappointment and finally find some peace?
Well, as we know, Daniel, and what we do every day with working with people and dealing with any kind of adversity, I mean, to simplify for the sake of our talk tonight, I think there are three primary steps. And the first step is to feel the feelings fully. And you know, I've witnessed with this population is that not enough women are really dealing directly with this experience, and they're not talking about it, and they're not dealing with it. And so what happens is it can come out in all sorts of ways. They get hyper busy. There's sort of low, there can be low level depression or irritability.
Dissociative.
Pardon me?
They may be dissociating from it also.
Yes, yes, exactly. And, you know, they might be feeling palpable jealousy and envy of their friends that have all of this. But instead of, you know, and so those feelings aren't bad, but they're also signs they're not dealing directly with the internal sadness. And so the first step is feeling it instead of denying it, really going deep into it. And what that means is truly attending to the loss and healing that part of your heart that needs healing, which is really the grief process. And if we're dealing with any kind of loss, it's really no different. And the second step, I think, is that when we fully have really attended to our feelings, we move into acceptance. And we know that from the Serenity Prayer, you know, that is what brings true peace. When you start to say, okay, you know, it is what it is, and you start living in the moment, and you start focusing on what you have versus what you don't have, and what is versus what isn't, and you start having an exhale. There's a sense of real, okay, then, you know, I don't have power over this. I can do what I can do, but that's all I can do. And moving into that acceptance is the second big step. And the third big step is really... if you really want to rock your life and get to a place of not just surviving a disappointment or a loss like this or any other, but really thriving, it takes, I think, a real conscious decision to say, I'm going to take what happened or didn't happen in my life, and I'm going to make it work for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to transcend it. I'm going to transform it into something beautiful. And that's where we find all sorts of silver linings, you know. And that's when we start asking questions. Well, who am I, and why am I here, and what do I have to, what gifts do I have to share, and what do I want to contribute, and what legacy, besides just having a child, would I like to leave, you know, and live. And so that's, you know, that's a broad stroke answer, but it's a very powerful process.
I think you're right on. I love what you said. So first, they got to feel the feelings, do not deny it. And once they know the feelings and they know what it means to them, accepting it, taking ownership of those feelings, and then finally make choices what they can do with the positions, the situations that they have in the present moment. So I love what you said.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I mean, how many of us, I bet you all of us can think of things in our life that didn't go the way we wanted them to go, but later we see some blessings and gifts and surprises that came out of that that we never would have imagined.
You are one of those examples, because now the next question is then, how did you turn this into what you're doing now?
Right, right.
So you found the gift in that.
Pardon me?
You found the gift in what happened to you.
The gift for me personally was having kind of a download vision of what can be done with this that made, for me personally, it all makes sense. It made it like, you know what, this is exactly, if I had had two or three children, there's no way. Well, that's not necessarily true. There are a lot of women with kids and are doing unbelievable things in the world. But let's face it, it is more difficult and at times unlikely.
Feelings that you have, they wouldn't have the understanding, the knowledge, the depth, the intuition that you have about this subject if they had children.
That's right. And so much of what we quote unquote birth, right, comes from that experience. And that's true. And so I realized over time, from what happened was, is that I started thinking about adopting an older child. And I thought, you know, my husband's 10 years older than me, or 12 years older than me, actually. And, you know, we would be older parents now. Well, what about the, you know, there are millions and millions of orphans in the world. children here that just want to be loved. And how incredible, what a mutual blessing it would be able to find that child and have an organic connection. And just like you make a new friend, somehow be in a position where you can have access to some of these kids and see if there's a click, if there's a heart recognition and a heart connection. And so I started to think about that. And yet something was holding me back. And ultimately what I realized about a year and a half, 2 years ago, was that it was a bigger calling for me. It was not just about me and one child, or my husband and I and one child. It was about starting to really create a space and a platform for more women to talk about this, and to talk about it, heal it, and also talk about the opportunities embedded in not having a child of your own. And whether that's, you know, taking care of a child that's already here that needs you and that could fill an unbelievable place in your heart and in your life, or whether it's birthing something else in the world that, you know, needs your attention. So helping, you know, create that space for the community of single women that don't have kids, couples, partners, while also addressing all of these, you know, millions of orphans that are, you know, considered damaged because they're 8 years old and, you know, they've been bounced around the foster care, you know, system, or they're from an impoverished country and people are afraid of them. It's just kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Every person has such an opportunity for healing. Daniel, you and I know that more than anyone. We're therapists who, adults come in feeling one way and we get to see the transformation when they start to really pay attention to themselves and an 8-year-old child, my God, to be transformed and or scooped up and brought into a loving environment. I mean, it could be miraculous for millions of kids. So the miracle
is really when actually you see that the grown-ups who still are acting like children grow up first, and then they can get over all of these anxieties or emotional breakdowns that takes over their lives. And then once they are emotionally mature enough, then they can have the possibility of even having their own children or adopting or being of value to the younger generation. I think that's a very important piece that I find with my group of clients, that the growth, the emotional growth, is not necessarily there. And part of this healing should be about the child within us that grows first before we can really do anything for other children.
That's absolutely right. I can't agree with you more. But imagine if those clients in your office had this stuff been attended to when they were 10 years old or 8 years old or 15 years old. Right? I mean, imagine if they had had...
What a big difference they've had.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, when people have all these fears about, you know, adopting, you can have a biological child and not know what the genetics brings, right? You don't know. And so all you can do is hold a loving space and have faith that you're in each other's lives for a reason. And so this is just one option. It's not about applying, you know, a judgment or pressure that childless people should go and adopt a child. It's just one option. But
how
that
does
was the
platform
yeah.
work, Marcy? How does the platform work? You have this online platform, tell us a little bit, how does it really work?
Okay, so what was launched here with this inspirational kind of calling that I felt was the platform. There are two sites. They're actually joined at the hip, but there's one called Childless Mothers Connect, and the reason why I called it Childless Mothers is the word childless, you know, is, you know, lots of people are triggered by it, to tell you the truth. It's very interesting. That's a whole nother discussion. It's fascinating. But there's no other word that can really describe the status of just not having your own biological and adopted child. That means you're childless.
I think that's a perfect word.
Right. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't have, you aren't child full of beautiful kids in the world that you love, but... So, and the mothers, the reason why we put mothers there is because, you know, I really believe in the archetypal sense that within every woman has a mothering instinct. It's more of a verb than a noun in terms of our capacity to love and to care and to nurture and to hold a space. And so That's why I'm calling it Childless Mothers, and the ChildlessMothersConnect.com website is a place for women without children, whether by choice or circumstance. There's a lot of women that made this very consciously by choice and are doing great, and there's women, you know, that have are childless by circumstance, walking through the difficulty or the struggle, and there's some that have gotten through it and gotten to the other side. But this is a place on the web that these women can connect and share resources and experiences, and there's a private forum and a public blog, and there's lots of categories that would potentially appeal to this population of women. Everything from issues around not having kids, about what that feels like, and also fertility. There's a fertility dialogue that goes on, as well as pets and animals, and lots of women without kids end up having animals because those are our babies. And then there's looking for love for those that are single, and relationship wrap for those that are in relationships, and back to business for so many of us that are entrepreneurs and own our own business. So lots of topics that women can collaborate on are in the private forum and the public blog. And then that site is connected to another site, which is my nonprofit arm, which is called CMOMA, C-M-O-M-A, which stands for Childless Mothers Adopt. And that the nonprofit is specifically supporting the women and the couples and the partners who have desired to have children, supporting them to connect with kids in need. Again, whether that's adoption or foster care or mentoring or hosting or somehow getting more involved in their community. And so that cmama.org is that site. And again, these two sites share the private forum and public blog. But I really wanted to address both because I felt like there's one issue is the community at large of all of these thousands of women now that share this in common. And then there's the nonprofit mission, of course, to bring that part of that population who would like to be connected with kids have a forum which can give them the education and the resources and the community to hopefully do so.
So this nonprofit, CMOMA, well, how does it serve people? So if somebody goes on this site, what are the benefits for them?
So if they go on the CMOMA.org site, if they click around, they'll see there's resources and so, you know, it's very overwhelming when you're thinking about adoption or you're thinking about foster care, or you're thinking about how can I connect with kids. In both of these sites, it has links to show you all the ways, not all the ways, but of course many resources out there where you can in fact connect with the child. And so there's the information. There's also, again, the private forum and the blogger ways that we're creating community discussion, sharing, the other piece that's the answer to the website question, Daniel. But the nonprofit also provides. I mean, we're giving grants now to we have an application process. So international adoption, for example, is extremely expensive. I mean, it's so ridiculously prohibitive. And so we're giving $5,000 grants to. We have an application process, and we choose the CMOMA families that we'd like to gift, and we'd like to help take the edge off. And then, of course, domestically, we also are giving those grants, and not either to the adoption process directly, or there might be medical needs of a child, or maybe educational needs that we can assist with. And so there's the CMOMA grant program, and we just launched a CMOMA coaching program, which one day, Daniel, I just might knock on your door for this, because what we're going to be doing is looking into the community, the CMOMA community, everyone from, from all walks of life, whether they be in the healing profession or providing some other service. So for the CMOMA-sponsored families, and with our partnership organizations, we're going to create a community where we provide services, pro bono services. So if a family unites, perhaps for the first 6 months, they'll get counseling, for the new parents, for the child trying to adapt. Perhaps they'll need some academic tutoring and help along the way. And so we're going to look inside of our community and say, you know, who wants to be on the See Mama coaching volunteer list? And so we're going to develop that program, which we're very, very excited about.
That's beautiful.
And yeah, you like that?
I love it.
Good, because I'm knocking on your door, because I mean, imagine, you know, also having the men. We really need men involved, because for, you know, the obvious reasons and so many reasons, but men bring in, I mean, there's so many, we need role models for little girls, for little boys, for big boys, for big girls, of what it means to be a man, that you can hold a space
right.
In the way that you do, right?
And have the acceptance again. I mean, if that acceptance comes from the man also, I guess, as you said, the relationship gets more solid, more well-founded, and then the children who come to this unit are going to feel safer, more secure, and happier, and more successful. So
of course,
it's very important to get men involved.
Yes, that's right. And lastly, the last piece for now, this organization, like anything that you create, starts to take on a life of its own, and it continues to build and to grow. We just celebrated our first birthday at the end of last year, in December of 2012. And the final thing is what we really want to do someday. This is going to be a big vision, and I have a feeling it's going to be quite an experience someday, is to have what we call the See Mama Journeys, where we take a group of people and we determine one place on the planet once a year to go and be able to, and particularly a place in, you know, where the kids have the most, at least amount of resources and the most amount of needs as a result, and to be able to be of service to that community that we go to. But to also have access to the kids, so that we've already determined, you know, we have a lot of homework and research and logistics to make sure we do. But once we do that and we realize these kids could be adopted and there's an opportunity to spend some time with no promises or pressure on either side, but we hope that some matches made in heaven will take place, you know, with some single women or couples and kids. But even if it doesn't happen that way, we will have some kind of passion project for the community to support that community,
right,
as well.
Right. So you go there with a mission to do something, for example, in a village or in a town, and then while you're there, you'll be connecting with those children. If organically any connections or bonds are made, then hopefully that would be a very good match for adoption.
That's correct.
Great.
That's exactly. You got it.
Okay.
You can be our spokesperson. That was said just beautifully. Exactly.
I think I got it.
You do. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
No, that's a beautiful mission. So how can people who are hearing us can be of support to you and your organization? How can we help you?
Well, thank you for that question, because there, you know, it takes a village. It really, truly does. And so there are lots of ways to connect and to be to help. Obviously, one is the donation of a financial donation, which you can make on the website. If you go to seemama.org, there's a donate button. And, of course, the money goes to everything from the See Mama grants that I just shared to preparing for the See Mama journeys, as well as the website and the resources and managing all of that, and of course the operations and hopeful staff one day, because right now this is completely being supported on a volunteer basis, and so we hope one day to be able to have the financial resources to hire staff so that we can get bigger and we can really sustain ourselves. That's obviously the goal. And so one thing that can happen is, of course, the financial donations. The other thing is donations for in-kind services. Like we talked about in the coaching program, if somebody has services they'd like to say, put me on your roster, I'd be delighted to work with a family pro bono once you have somebody in the system that could be a good match, who could, you know, who could receive these service and who needs them, that would be wonderful. Things like bookkeeping, accounting, legal counsel, I mean, these are things for the nonprofit that would be a huge gift, in-kind donation. And then, of course, the donation of time. I mean, we're it's being supported by volunteers, staff. We have a fundraising committee. We have a marketing committee. We have marketing PR. We have a 501c3 nonprofit management committee. And
you have a research team, right?
And a research team, yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's very, very important. So those are the four sort of teams that we're talking about now, and we are gathering names, and people are saying, yes, I'd like to be on this and like to be on that. We're looking for people to chair committees and chair subdivisions of those committees, because we know that I can't wear the 10 hats. I can certainly be the figurehead who's holding the space, but we really need folks that say, I'm in, you know, and so that's a huge help. And we have a couple of fundraisers every year, so folks that love to event plan and can be involved in that way, that is beautiful. And so if anybody goes to the website, there's the donate button, there's the volunteer button on the cmama.org, and they can click on the volunteer box and they can find out all about that, so they can connect with us and we can connect with them, which would be
wonderful. And I would like to mention your First Tuesday group also, because you have an amazing group of people around you, amazing women who
yes.
are very supportive of your undertakings. And I've noticed in any time I've been around your groups, they, you know, a bunch of joyful people that come wholeheartedly and they share with you the space. And I believe you have that support behind you in what you're doing. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, yes. And ironically, really, you know, we live in Los Angeles, and this group is called FirstTuesdayLA.com, and it's a, you know, we have live events that are really focused on personal and professional development, but these are heart-centered entrepreneurs, and these are women who actually are the example of the women thriving no matter what. And I would say literally half of them don't have kids.
Right.
And so we found each other, and it's like attracts like, but also they're incredibly impressive. They're an incredibly impressive group of women. So that's right. A lot of the First Tuesday gals in LA are involved in the C-Mama vision, because they've been, you know, I shared that with all of them at its inception. So
yeah.
They've been growing with the organization as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to congratulate you for being able to magnetize such group around you and all the great work that you do. I'm really proud to know you and what you're doing. It's great for our community, for women, for all the people involved, for children. And I wish you the best in your best success in what you're undertaking. Do you have any last words for our listeners? Do you want to share anything else? Give more information on the website. Please go ahead.
Well, I will do that briefly, and then I have something to say to you, Daniel. So for any listeners that are interested in this whole vision, again, you can go to cmama.org, C-M-O-M-A.org, and it speaks volumes just being there. And I would be so delighted to meet any of you out there who are aligned with this mission, and I would love to meet you. And Daniel, I would like to say to you, thank you for your kindness and your invitation tonight and your friendship. And the Wheel of Well-Being, where we both practice, that you founded and you created, is my professional home, and it's been a blessing in so many ways. And you're a part of this community because you hold this space. Anybody who's holding a space and says and can say go see Mama is just so I just have such gratitude for you as my friend, and also for a placeholder for that and all that you do for the community as well. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for being my friend and for inviting me on this program, and for being such an extraordinary man out there in the world.
Thank you. We both share the love of people, and we have the best all our community in our hearts. And I think on that note, let's say good night to our listeners, and I look forward to have you again soon on this program, and hopefully you can give us some more good news about the progress and where the organization is going at that time.
Absolutely. I will look forward to that. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, thank you, thank you,
beautiful.
Everyone, for listening.
Thank you so much.
Blessings. Bye-bye.